Welcome to WP Coffee Talk with your podcast barista, Michelle Frechette. Special thanks to our amazing sponsors, Sentry Hosting, Expander Digital, GoWP, and WP Explorer. WP Coffee Talk is a proud supporter of Big Orange Heart, whose mission is to support and promote positive well-being and mental health within remote working communities. Please consider a donation to Big Orange Heart to continue to support this great mission. Welcome to the next episode of WP Coffee Talk, where I get to talk to people in the WordPress community all over the world, which is one of the things that I love most about what I do. And today I get to talk to Meg. And Meg, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's so good to talk to you. Thank you for joining me this evening. It's quiet at your house, so I know the kids must either be locked in another room, off to the park with the husband someplace, because I know how you're you have a house full of kids and you love your family so much. So
I do. And I gave, so the history is I took their watching device, their streaming device. I took it away for over streaming. And so tonight before the interview, I gave it back.
Ooh, that.
So all three kids are like downstairs in the toy room and they're like probably watching, I don't know, Lego or something. I would imagine. Even Bunny.
I love it. That's. It's okay.
Sorry, it's his phone and he, I don't know where he is.
That's all right. No worries. Phones ring. That's what happens. That's, you know, this is real life. This is not staged. We don't script this. This is just two people having coffee. And sometimes when people have coffee, their phones ring.
So yeah.
It's all fine. It's all good. But I usually tell how I know people. Sometimes I don't know people at all. And this is the first time I meet them. Yeah, sure.
Oh, wow.
People all over the world. And, you know, it's kind of fun. And I get to meet them for the first time when we do the interview or do the recording. But you and I have been on a bunch of, talk about coffee, a bunch of coffee breaks together this year. I think that's really, you know, how you and I got to know each other is through the WordPress marketing team and doing those on screen Zoom coffee breaks that we started up during the quarantine so that people would feel more connected to one another. So, and that's how I got to meet Bunny, your beautiful daughter.
I never thought I would have a daughter, honestly. It's funny that you say that, my beautiful daughter. It still makes me check, like, were you talking to me? That's why I made that face. I was like, wait, do I have a beautiful daughter? Like, it's still, like, unreal. I know, right? I thought I was a boy mom until, you know.
Until Bunny came along. That's awesome. So just, you know, to kind of tell us about yourself and what you do. Give the people an introduction. To you.
Yeah, so I am a mom and I am a developer. I am, in some ways, I'm a designer, but I don't really love to do graphic design. I do love to do garment design, so I miss it. That was my career before WordPress and motherhood. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of me in a nutshell. I live at the beach. That's another thing that you have to know. It sort of is part of who I am. I've always been by the ocean, and I get a little wacky when I'm not close to the sea. So, yeah.
And you live on an island.
I do. I live on Hatteras Island. So, it's in the Outer Banks of North Carolina, and we are the easternmost spot of the United States. So, there's some dude who is – that is really disrespectful. Forgive me. Sincere man. I will look up your name later and put it in.
There's a lovely gentleman who, what were you saying?
He's like started here and he's going to carry across all the way to California.
And oh like, my goodness.
Jay and I, this is fair. Oh my God. Okay. I'm not going to, like, but Jay and I passed him in like Buxton and all I could think is you got a long way to go. You know, like Buxton's like the halfway point of our island. And Jay's like, look, he's halfway. And I was like, no, baby, he's halfway to the bridge. Like he's not even made it to the, you know, so like, I hope Forrest makes it the whole way. Lord help him. But yeah, I'm sure he will, but.
No disrespect in any way, shape or form, but does he know that Jesus didn't walk that far with the cross?
No, but it's a long way. I also don't know exactly how big it is because I like by the time we passed him, like he was in my rear view. So I'm gonna have to look him up online, especially because I don't know his name or his story. Yeah. It's just my husband told me about it. So Jay's better at keeping up with current than I am. So he's always filling me in on what's going on. I put this in one of my blogs. I'm real tenderhearted. So like, yeah. I can't because I have too many responsibilities. Like I have to be strong for my kids. I have to be strong for my work, for my husband. I have responsibilities. And like, if I watch too much news, like I'll just be in a funk and like nothing will get done. Cause I am pretty tenderhearted. I think motherhood did that to me because before that, it must be a hormonal thing, but like before I was a mom, I wasn't so tenderhearted, but now I'm a big old sap. So I stay off the news unless I feel like it's something I really like, you know, ethically, morally, I need to be aware of firsthand, and then I'll tune in.
Well, I love that you say you're tenderhearted, and then I saw your mug.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So show us your mug and tell us what it says for anybody listening.
Okay, so it says, "I love you more than coffee, but not always before coffee." My kids know it to be true too. I get up way earlier than everybody else, and so they hardly ever encounter me before I've had my coffee. But when they do, they're like, "Mom has not had her coffee yet." You know, like they know. Don't mess.
Exactly. And you're drinking. It's about 7 o'clock on the East Coast here, and you're drinking coffee, and I'm actually drinking coffee too. And I almost never drink coffee this late, but I have my world's best mug from Dunder Mifflin from the show The Office, and that was given to me by one of my teammates. So it's got a special place in my heart, and I'm drinking coffee as well, cream of sugar. That's how it goes down.
Yeah, I'm really weird about my coffee, so I drink it like the same every day. And
me too.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are. So I drink that sugar-free Coffee Mate French vanilla. Mm. And like, mm-hmm. if I can't get it, then I have like a big old grump on. Okay. Like if it's not the sugar-free, I don't like it. And if it's the fat-free, I won't drink it. And you know, it just, it's high maintenance in that respect, but I'm not high maintenance otherwise. Like, cause
that's good.
Yeah. So usually, well, okay. Maybe a little bit.
It just depends.
It just depends.
Tell us how you got started with WordPress.
Well, I won't go back too far, but I got started first with PHP and HTML and CSS. And as I was sort of thinking about, doing this interview with you, I was hindsighting today and I was like, you know, I love that I was able to learn all of this outside of my formal education. And I wrote an article on my blog that says, you know, can we stop calling ourselves self-taught? Because I'm not self-taught, right? I have this legacy of teachers that have taught me this amazing skill set. And so while I was self-studied, I'm not self-taught, you know, there's some really great teachers in my history. But so I was a developer before WordPress, and a decent one, right? Mm-hmm. So my first exposure to WordPress was in, it seems like all of my life is marked by my pregnancies. So I was pregnant with Bo, and we had already made the decision to move to the Outer Banks, and I had a job with a small agency in Manio, and they used WordPress for all their mm-hmm. sites. And I felt totally lost for a really long time inside of WordPress because I was like, why don't I just write it? You know, like it's hard for a developer to come into a framework right. at first, I think. If you've just been writing raw code, it's sort of hard to like make that transition. So mm-hmm. it took me a while to warm up to it, but now I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't go back and in any way. And I have like tried on other frameworks and things, and I always tend to come back to WordPress maybe because it's the one I'm most familiar with.
Yeah.
So does that answer the question?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Sure.
So that was in 2013.
Okay. So you've been working with WordPress for quite a while then.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And it was in 2008 that I, or 9, that I learned PHP and started writing code.
Okay.
I've got a lot of years under my belt there too.
I love it. That's awesome. That's fantastic. When you think back over your WordPress journey, what's something that you wish you, oh, I actually skipped a question. Let me go back to the other question. I do it all the time because I get thinking it too far ahead. But what's something that you think that people skip, speaking of skipping, when they develop websites, when they design websites or build them, what is something we skip that would make websites stronger or better for the end user?
Every time I talk about WordPress, I feel like I need to qualify the type of user because there's just such a broad user base. So you've got everybody from like super advanced developers to do it yourself folks off the street that this is their first website, right? Mm-hmm. So I would say that with regard to the first website folks, like really retail, like do it yourself, like this is a great CMS. Like I'm not a developer. Mm-hmm. I think that they really overlook doing the research involved in SEO. Like it took me a long time. Like I was a developer and I really didn't appreciate how important that was. Mm-hmm. And I found with my clients, it's hard to someone who doesn't have exposure to that. That conversation's hard to start about why it's so important. You know, it's the tree falling in the woods thing. Yeah, you want a website, but if no one comes to it, then you don't need a website. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I would say that. Yeah, paying attention to the SEO.
That makes a lot of sense because the content is key for SEO. So if you aren't building the content from the beginning for it, then
and that's the hardest part, right? That's the part that's the part that really matters. And I think that's the part that's the hardest to do. And as a developer, it's the part I want nothing to do with. It doesn't make any sense. I'm like, can't somebody else deal with that? You know, it makes no sense.
Well, I mean, some people work in agencies because they have teams that can fill in those different parts, you know? But then there's freelancers who have to do everything. And it's a different ballgame altogether when that happens, for sure. Absolutely. Okay. The question I almost started and I'm going to go back to now is what's something you wish you had known earlier in your WordPress journey that would have made things a lot easier sooner?
I think that I should have. Okay. So I worked for the small agency and he had a particular theme framework that he liked to use. And so I had to use that. And while I appreciate why he did that for margin and economy and scale and repetition, I mean, all of this is a good practice, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like I should have first written a theme and then written a plugin and then gone back to just the whole thing, right? Because once you've like really gotten in there, it helps you appreciate how the whole thing works. And once you kind of know how the whole thing works, then it's like really easy to get all around and do what you need to do. But until you've like really gotten in there to appreciate how everything's connected and what everything's doing, it can be a little frustrating, particularly as a very enabled developer. I'm like, oh, could I just write this in like 5 minutes? like I could just write this in 5 minutes. So,
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. When you think back to WordCamps or meetups or WordPress events that you've attended, is there a moment or an experience that you had that was kind of pivotal for you? Something like where the angels sang or something, you know, something like that. And if there was, what was it?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Was that on the list? Because I'm really thinking about that one.
It was on the list.
How did I miss that? I don't know. I think probably, you know, I, for a long time, I would go to the website, WordPress.org, and I would look at the section that says, hey, you know, we have these meetings and it's all open and you can join the Slack channel and everything's transparent. And I was like, I'll believe that when I see it. And like, I come from like old school. Like I was born in 1977. Like I'm not like a spring chicken. Exactly. I mean, you know, and so I came from like a very like corporate world where they might say that, but they don't mean that. And so I think when I first, like, I was like, okay, well, I need to get to know some other people, and I would like to contribute. And I had that opportunity to do so. And we were talking a little bit about this before, but after mm-hmm. Bunny, I was too sick to actually work and take mm-hmm. in work that would be for money, because I felt like I wasn't able to keep any reliable pace. And so I didn't want to atrophy. And so one of the reasons that I volunteered so much during that time with WordPress marketing team is just so I could be a part of something that I could contribute to at my own pace, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. And I just found the whole experience like super refreshing and transparent and welcoming and friendly. And even, you know, when I shared that I can do this at a certain pace, and if I would get in over my, because I'm really ambitious. So like, especially during that time when I was like recovering, I thought I maybe could do more than I could. And I was like, okay, well, I can't really do that. I said I could, but now I can't really do it. So, and every, you know, it's just a good team, and they're friendly mm-hmm. and appreciative of what you can. And when you say I'm in over my head, there's someone else to pick up the, so yeah, I think that was my moment, was really just realizing that, like, that page that says all this transparency and inclusion, it really meant what it said.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that makes a lot of sense, actually. And you and I met because of that same team. Yeah. And it was really refreshing, I agree, to be part of something that is like, if I don't go to the, right, it's an online meeting, but if yeah, I don't attend the Wednesday meeting, nobody is saying, where were you?
No.
How come you didn't get your input this week? I mean, yeah. Somebody might reach out to me and say, are you okay?
Are you okay? That's different.
Right? Yeah. So
that's good.
Yeah. Right? It's yeah. Cause there's no recrimination in it. It's not like, yeah. Where were you? Are you okay? It's like, hey, I'm so used to yeah. seeing you there. I just want to make yeah. sure everything's okay.
Yeah.
And that is a very good feeling for sure. Tell us what projects you're working on right now. I know that things have kind of shifted around for you a little bit and what you're doing. So tell us what you're doing with WordPress right now.
I have two sort of big things going. I have a plugin that is first in a series that I planned, right? But like all plans when you're a mom of three, it'll get done when it gets done. But you know, my husband's in the boating industry, and so after 10 years of being his, like, you know, my side gig was being his marketing gal to whatever real job I had for the past 11 years. And I learned that there's not a lot of proper tools in that industry. So, and proper is a matter of opinion. So, but for our exact part of the industry, they're either very expensive, so out of scale to the size of the businesses that could use them, mm-hmm. if that makes sense, or the feature set has been like taken from something else and rebranded, but it doesn't really fit. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
So I wrote a plugin that's on the repository. It's free. It's, you know, one more of my sort of give back to the thing that supports me thing mm-hmm. Called Charter Boat Bookings. It was very creative. And so it's a WooCommerce extension. And so if you are a single operator, fishing guide or hunting guide or sailor, you can just for free, you know, plug that in, get Stripe, PayPal, whatever, and have online bookings. And then I have a pro version of, you know, that is mm-hmm. for a little bit more serious operators. One thing about that industry is a lot of people, like, it's their dream, mm-hmm. right? So they have a day job and they invest in this boat. And a lot of times it's a big investment for people.
Sure.
And they think, okay, well, I can just do that like kind of as a side gig until I can build the business to be sustainable. And mm-hmm. so really I was thinking maybe that I could help people get from nothing to sustainable. And then if they, mm-hmm. you know, by the time they get to it's a real job, you probably need the pro version. And then, I hope, my husband hopes, actually, not so much me, because I really, it's like, it's fun, but it's not really, you know, my thing. Mm-hmm. He wants me to ride a bare boat and the, you know, crew charter version and the charter yacht management version. And I have like old PHP versions of those that weren't WordPress plugins that I could mm-hmm. like So at some point I'll get around to it. And then my project right now, which I'm super excited about, is it's called Schoolistit, and it's sort of a play on words of like a school list. And mm-hmm. so during the COVID-19 crisis, I had my own mini crisis because I do work, and I also have three kids. And I, at that point in time, my two older children were in school, right? And my baby was in daycare 3 days a week so that I could work. And because I contribute to like our family budget, right? So like, sure. It's kind of like a thing I have to do. And
it's not just a hobby.
No, not really. And so, although it has become that since COVID-19, I mean, not a hobby as much as just, I'm not able because I don't have any daycare. So the boys' school closed and then the daycare closed and then I was still working and it was like, bah! And one of the things, I should have put them all together for you, but the first week I literally had like 50 pages that I had to go through to try and figure out between two kids. And it was really a nightmare. And I feel I want to be very careful about how I say that, because the nightmare for me was absolutely half the size of the nightmare for my friends who are teachers. Mm-hmm. Right. Because like my girlfriend, Brandy, I went to high school with, she teaches like in an inner city school in Atlanta, and a lot mm-hmm. of her kids, like they don't have technology. Right.
Right.
And then she has three kids and hers are all in school. So then she had three at home. She had to get all of their, and they're older. So then instead of having like two teachers each or three teachers each, they had like five teachers each. And then she had her three. Her husband's like, he has MS, so he's not able to help like a ton, right? Mm-hmm. And then she had to also help her like
her students
at school. And I was like how, I don't know how she made it through, but
that she's glad it's summer.
Yeah, I think she really is. I think she's not sure about how glad she is that her work starts again on July 1st. So she's like, I think getting a little you know, just let's see how it goes. But so I was in this like very surreal conversation with my son's math mm-hmm. teacher, and I should mention that by the second week, my neighbor, I try to get outside every day with my kids mm-hmm. because I work from home. It's just a mental health thing. Like we have to sure. be outside every day. Yeah. And so we do a lot of walking around the block, and we can walk like one block that way and go to the beach, and one block that way we're in the bay, and we do bike riding and strollering and whatever it is. And, mm-hmm. My neighbor Vicky passed us on the street, and like, you know, the kids are like playing and the baby's in the stroller, and I'm like, and I'm like ugly crying, and she's like, what is wrong with you? And I was like, I can't teach them, I just can't teach them, I'm not a teacher, I don't know how to do this, and I can't do this. And she's like, could you just calm down for half a hot second? You know, like pull it together, Meg. You know, like you can't handle the truth. And so she's like, she is a retired principal mm-hmm. and she taught for like a gazillion years. And so she's like, tomorrow, let me take Bo, who's my kindergartner. And he's the one in the dual language. So I, mm-hmm. it really was. And so she's like, let me take Bo. And even though we were supposed to be distancing, she's like, forget about it. Bo's not sick. And also we have a different situation here because we're isolated and they closed our bridge. So like we were social distancing with an eye roll because no one here was sick and no one got sick until they opened the bridge again, really. I mean, honestly, yeah. there was no cases. We had one nurse who works at a nursing home on the mainland and she got it, but they kept her up there, you know? Mm-hmm. And so until the tourists came back, we didn't have any cases. So we were all social distancing. Whatever. And so Vicky's like, give Bo to me and you take Noah. And that gave me a week to like get myself organized and like get into the flow of it and mm-hmm. and realize how I can manage Bunny while I'm trying to spend time with the boys and get their schoolwork done. And so it was during a week after that Noah's math teacher called me, and he's like, I needed to call and ask you how we're doing. And I'm like, you guys are knocking my socks off. I was like, I don't know how you did this, right? Because these teachers, they had a week. In our district, they like literally had a week to take in school to remote learning. And so I was like, I don't have any complaints. I mean, I have complaints, but not at you guys, just at mm-hmm. the situation. Because sometimes, right. it's funny, we were just talking about that. Sometimes things can be bad, but it's not anybody's, it just is, right?
Right, so, yeah.
I was like, honestly, the lists are great and I appreciate them, but I have 7 and they're on paper and I can't integrate them and I can't check them off. And mm-hmm. my printer's out of paper and Amazon's not delivering. And we live on an island where I couldn't get any paper. And so it was overwhelming. And he's like, well, what do you think we can do? And I was like, well, you guys have classroom, but it's not set up for us to access. And he's like, no, and they're not going to provision it for the parents. And I was like, yeah, right. Okay, well, what else can we do? And so I was like, right. well, you know, there was a time when a PTA mom would just bake brownies, but I'm just going to build you an app. And he's like, a what? I was like, you know, I'll just write something in PHP and I'll make a plugin and I'll just send it over. And he's like, PH what? And I was like, you know, he's like, is that like a Microsoft thing? I was like,
nah.
I was like, listen, it'll be like me bringing brownies to the school, except you'll have a way to easily, you know, communicate with the parents. And so the first version of Sclosit was like, literally, he could just take his Excel. Well, actually, it was a Google Sheet and just like upload that into, and then Sclosit would digest it, you know, mm-hmm. the weekly lesson plans. You know that feeling when you know you've done something that needed to be done?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to keep on this for a little bit. And I continued to iterate it until it became like a full-fledged thing. And so I think it's good. And I'm excited about it. And I want people to know about it by fall because mm-hmm. it does a thing that the enterprise apps don't do. Mm-hmm. And it integrates with them. So that's what makes, I think it's why I'm so excited about it, because I think that a lot of parents, me included, we know what the state is saying is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of just waiting to see, right? Like, does that sound disrespectful in any way? But I feel like every parent is like holding their breath for that moment when we're told it's going to be something else than we think it's going to be, because we don't really know. I mean, our county, like, we were like back to normal, and then all the tourists came back, and now they're requiring masks again. And there are, you know, what's the word, consequences if you don't comply with that. And mm-hmm. so all of a sudden, like, it seems more real to us here in our location mm-hmm. than it has in a while. So, and people here are getting sick for the first time, really.
Yeah.
So we just don't know, like, if what's going to happen. So,
Well, it sounds like you've built something that's really necessary, and that's kind of exciting, though. I mean, when you can absolutely, it's fun to build something that people like and enjoy. Yeah. It's fulfilling to build something that people need and like and enjoy at the same time.
Yeah, I hope people will find it and appreciate what it does. It was really not my invention. It was more my kids' teacher's invention, except they needed it to be an app. You know, it ultimately it spits out their format, mm-hmm. you know, which worked and works great because, you know, the issue for me at first with the homeschooling was I didn't know what was required and what had to be turned in and when.
Right.
And it got really confusing. And so, yeah, I hope it will be something that people benefit from. And it's a community project. I should say that, like, I'm not charging for it. It's not for sale. It's just,
Where do people find it? And we'll definitely put all of this in the show notes so people can go to wpcoffeetalk.com, find your episode, and they'll be able to unearth it. But tell us where we find it. Where do we find it?
Schoolistit.com. So that's just like literally a play on words of school, list it. So so when you get your school list for the week, you can either put it in, or if your teacher's already put it into classroom, we can use OAuth to API that. And the great thing is that, I don't want to get too techie, because that would bore people, but, you know, the way that React works, the Schoolistit doesn't house any secure data. There's nothing, right? So there's no kids' addresses, kids' names, kids, nothing private.
Right.
Right. There's no grading. And so it's really a great way to, like, this is the stuff that can be public and we can all have that out there. Right. Mm-hmm. And not be worried about, like, I don't want people knowing where my kids live. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I can let Google and Microsoft handle that stuff. Like I don't want anything to do with that, you know?
Right.
But,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Of course, during this whole time of COVID, there's been meme after meme after meme. And part of the way that humans deal with tragedy and stress is to have humor in it. I would actually say the meme that made me laugh the absolute most, so probably what I would say is my favorite COVID-themed meme, is the one that says, "I wonder who my kids will have for as their teacher next year. I hope it isn't me again."
Right? Yeah.
I mean, I don't have school-age kids, so my heart goes out to everybody who does and has had to deal with all of that. But I mean, I guess we had our things in the past, but nothing like what y'all have had to deal with. Oh my gosh, I just said y'all because I'm talking to you.
I'm sorry.
We don't say y'all in Rochester, New York, but I just
said y'all. Abba would die. She's like told me before. She's like, you gotta just, you know, y'all is something that the voice translators can't pick up. And I'm like, I know, well, it's something that you can't stop me saying. I can try, but
apparently it's contagious. So
I think it is. It really is, because it's like the best word ever, because it means you all, but it's easier to say.
Yeah, exactly.
Rolls right off the tongue.
Very, very easily. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think we all felt like thrown in the deep end. I know I did. Like, honestly, like, I have one of my very best girlfriends has four kids, and she electively homeschools. Like, she homeschools because she chose to.
Right.
And, like, I've always told her I thought she was nuts. And, like, it's kind of one of those, like, things where Katie's like, her name is Katie Mackus, and she's an educated teacher. Like, she just teaches her own kids, but her degree is in education. And so I always told her, I was like, you're crazy. It's free. Your kids go there. you don't have to pay them. And they take care of all that for you, and they feed them. And then they don't harm them and they come home. So I don't know what's wrong with you. And so then, like, I found myself, and like, she was like, you know, texting me all these like awful gifts of like, meh, meh. You know, like, how's it feel? You know, I was like, well, I still think you're nuts, but you could give me some helpful tips here. So
yeah, the difference between people who've chosen to homeschool over time is they didn't just suddenly get thrust into it unprepared.
And I think that the thing I found, and I think I got this feedback from a lot of other parents, both homeschooling parents and not electively homeschooling parents.
Right.
That the curriculums are different, right? When you buy into a homeschool curriculum, like, it's designed for homeschool. So there's like a set pace and you get into it and your kids mm-hmm. get into it and you're like, you know, you kind of know what's coming and it's less in the day. Our homeschooling morphed a little more in that way the longer we did it. But mm-hmm. when it first started, it was like the same amount of work my kids would have done at school, sent home, you know, as if they had broken their arm and they were in the right. hospital for a week. And it was just yeah. overwhelming. And
absolutely.
But also the emotional thing, like, right, like, we were all kind of stunned. Like, I remember when 9/11 happened, I just was kind of like, I didn't know what to feel for a long time. Like, I kind of was, like, just going through this, like, okay, I know I'm supposed to be sad and I'm supposed to process this, but I wasn't able for actually quite a long time after 9/11. Mm-hmm. And I felt that way when this happened, too. It's like, I was like, is this really happening? Like, it took me a long time to process the fact that, I mean, have American schools ever closed before in the history of our country? Like, across the board? Like, just your kids can't come to school? I don't know that that's ever happened.
I don't know that it has either.
Even during World War II and stuff. Like, I don't know that ever happened before.
I don't think so. I mean, if it does, somebody will let us know, I'm sure.
Yeah, they'll tell us, right? But yeah, I think that it's hard for me, at least. I'm a delayed emotion kind of a gal because mm-hmm. I grew up in a family where humor is the only appropriate response ever. like Uncle so-and-so died. Ah! You know, like, we just, like, that's the only appropriate response for anything in my family. And I'll never forget when Mama, this is like so off the wall, but my mom fell while we were putting down Christmas decorations one year and really hurt herself really bad. And we just all laughed at her for like 20 minutes. And finally it took like, you know, it took her a while to be like, no, y'all, I really think I hurt myself. Because I don't know, I guess that's really dysfunctional, right? But I think a lot of people are like that. Or at least we are. Yeah,
for sure.
Humor is the only thing that we know how to.
Yeah, I mean, it gets us through some tough times. That's for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, let me move into the rapid fire questions and see what I'm interested to hear what your answers are to all these. I love to kind of listen to what people have to say. Some people have very similar answers and some are like completely different than anything I would ever expect. So let's dive right in. What are two or three must have plugins that you would recommend to somebody building their own website?
So Yoast SEO, mm-hmm. Query Monitor. And then I actually really appreciate the ultimate add-ons for Gutenberg.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And what do you think of Gutenberg?
Oh, I love it. Here's the thing. Human nature changes hard. Tell a bunch of developers they have to learn a new language. They're going to grumble. but we have to look at the big picture, I think. And it's great for people. Mm-hmm. It's always good to put designing tools in the hands of designers, right? Mm-hmm. As a product developer in the apparel industry, I have learned that lesson a million times over. The first time you take your designer into the print house to see how the colors lay down on the fabric and to mm-hmm. shake the dude's hand who mixes her colors, right?
Yeah.
You're giving her something that she really can feel and work with, and you get something better out of it at the end. So I mm-hmm. think that with Gutenberg, we have to hold our breaths, right?
Mm-hmm.
And appreciate the art that can come out of it.
Yeah. I wasn't one of those people that was like kicking and screaming. You didn't have to drag me into it, but I was one of those people that was like, I don't have time to learn it yet. It's on the list, you know? And so, you know, it dropped right around WordCamp US, right? And then it was probably February, March before I really had an opportunity to take some time and kind of delve into it. But mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, it did stop me from doing is teaching WordPress for a while. Because I have been teaching WordPress classes, and it's like, well, if I don't understand Gutenberg, I certainly can't teach a class about Gutenberg or about WordPress. So it kind of sidelined that for a little while, which was fine. because, you know, I had to learn and grow a little bit about it too. So that was kind of cool. Mm-hmm.
I think for me, the hard decisions were business decisions. Like I built a really significant theme custom installation for a newspaper. And I did that like in October, or the project started in August of 2000, mm-hmm. was it 17 or 18 that Gutenberg mm-hmm. rolled out. And I didn't know, it was like hard, and I had to like try and tell the client about this thing that's coming, but it hasn't come yet. And we aren't sure it's going to come. And like,
right.
I could build it this way, or I could wait and you could try to keep making do with what you've got. You know, it was just like hard for a business, I think, more than anything, because we didn't all kind of, I didn't know what to know or what to think. Mm-hmm. And so in that way, it was hard, but I was never afraid of, I can never be afraid of technology. I think that I can be afraid of what people can do with technology, but afraid of advances in technology.
Yeah. And when we say change is hard, it's almost it's the transition.
Yeah.
It's the hard part, right? So it's like, I hate moving, but I like being in. I hate travel, but I like being there. You know, it's that transition part that's always kind of a pain in the butt. Have you had a mentor at any point in time, like a WordPress mentor, a business mentor, whether it was official or kind of somebody took you under their wing, and or maybe it was somebody that you looked up to kind of follow along the way they do things? And who was it?
It's funny that, I wrote an article about this in my blog today. I don't have anyone that I could say, okay, this is my personal mentor, but mm-hmm. I didn't get to be proficient with WordPress on my own, right? Mm-hmm. So I can't point to one particular person, but I can say that, there are thousands of people that donate and dedicate their time to work really hard to contribute to the documentation mm-hmm. and to the core. And, those folks are my mentors. They were my teachers because I had to rely on them to learn what I know. And then, mm-hmm. There are amazing teachers that I learned from. Like, I'm really bad with pronouncing stuff, but there are some really great WordPress teachers that have courses on YouTube and stuff that I've learned mm-hmm. from. And so that's what I can say is from mm-hmm. that perspective.
That's wonderful. Is there someone, or I should say, is there, who is someone that you admire in the WordPress community and why?
Am I like the most unoriginal person in the whole world? But I have to say you, Yoast. And here's why. It's not just because he has like the plugin that everybody in the whole world uses. But also it's about having, I always admire people who have foresight and instincts about timing, right? Mm-hmm. Because many great things have been done, but unless they're properly timed, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like he was in the right place at the right time with his plugin, mm-hmm. And that I admire in any industry, in any setting.
Yeah. And also I think if I could add on to that, when you don't stagnate, but you continue to develop the plugin to meet new needs and that kind of thing too, and continually make it better. I think.
Yeah. I mean, what was it, what they have 10 years now in, or even, I mean, that's a long time. WordPress has been around, what, 17, but, mm-hmm. And it wasn't just Yoast. Like everyone thinks of the SEO plugin, but he originally wrote the analytics plugin too, right?
You're asking me a question. You don't necessarily know the answer. We'll check it out.
I don't want to be wrong, but I think he originally might have written the Monster Analytics like first version of that. So, smart dude.
For sure,
very smart.
That's awesome. What's something that you want to learn in WordPress but you haven't tackled yet?
I've never contributed to core and I really want to, and I really need to because it's on my bucket list. And, I think that as developers, we aren't always nice to each other. We are nice to each other when we work together. And then when we come behind another developer and they're not in the room, we're like, this is the worst code I've ever seen. Like nobody could ever write in behind this code. We just have to start over. Right. Which is not nice. And I think that in times like that, when I feel that someone's going into my code that for whatever reason, you know, a lot of times there are budgetary concerns that go into mm-hmm. how you write a thing, and business things go into that decision as well. So we can't always write like something extensible and like giant and perfect, right? And in those moments when I'm feeling really insecure, I would love to just say to myself, but I've contributed to the WordPress core. So, you know, because, I think that would be nice.
I think you'll probably do it too. Set your mind to it. It'll happen.
Yeah.
What's the biggest mistake you've made in WordPress and what did you learn from it?
I've made so many. Oh my God. Everything, I think that, learning is a process of the mistakes we make. So, mm-hmm. I don't know that I can point to one exact biggest, but I know for sure that I've done things that have terrible performance. I think all of us can say that we have, like, I came up with this really great idea to do this really great function and then I rolled it all into a plugin, right? And I didn't really think about how long that was going to take. And then I really regretted the way I structured it or the way I built it. So I would have to say that all of my biggest technical mistakes probably were to do with with bad performance, probably. Mm-hmm. I don't know about like one specific one though.
That's okay. Yeah. The ones that make me go, oh, are the like in the moment, right? So there's this moment of panic sometimes that you just have and you work through and afterwards you look back and you go, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I mean, I just have so much history of big mistakes that the WordPress ones I've made seem, well, okay, because here's the thing, and y'all need to appreciate how lucky we have it in this industry, because when you've got 300 units of a garment shipping with a misspelled label, it feels really permanent, because you can't turn the boat around.
Right.
And it's done deal, right? It's going in stores with a misspelled label. And you're that girl who approved the artwork for it, right? Like, that is a mistake that you, like, drink over, right? And, like, go into the bathroom and barf, right? Like, anything that you can go online and, like, stop and correct quickly is, you know, it's just a little less permanent, you know? So, yeah.
There's some perspective right there. What's your proudest WordPress moment?
Oh my gosh, if I say my current project, it's going to sound so canned. So I'll try to think of something else. Okay, here's one. I was hired by, a real estate agent to build a website for her. And she at first said, I just want a website that I can call my own, right? So she was signed up with one of those really big lead generation real estate companies that have like 50 employees, you know, they have like whole offices, like they're big, big businesses, right? And then she's like, I just want one that, you know, is like for me and it's mine. And I was like, okay, well, sure thing, you know, we can do it. And that was a long time ago. So there were the plugins that exist now that can tap into almost any IDX and feed off of the RITs did not exist at that time. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, I was like, well, this is a little out of scope for what you hired me to do. And I've never done this before, but if you're willing to pay for my time, I'm willing to dig in and do it. And so when I really realized that I had, and then she's like, well, if you can do that, then you could build me a CMS that kind of, you know, does the same thing as my Tiger Leads. And I was like, if you're willing to pay for it, I'm willing to build it. You know, sure. And so when I got done with all of that, you know, we had like Mailgun integrated. And this was long before. I mean, now there's like a plugin, right? Mailgun is like a plugin. You just like,
right,
and it's done. At that time, it was brand new technology. This is like a really, really long time ago. And so it did like chatbot with Twilio, it did Mailgun. And so by the time we iterated that sucker into what she really wanted it to be, she was getting her leads for like 20% of what she was paying in the other,
you know.
And so I felt really, that was like probably the first moment when I felt like, okay, I'm a real developer now, because yeah. I built something that does the same thing that that huge company over there, mm-hmm. you know, built. And I feel like ours was better, right? Ours was better. Yep. So, yeah, that was my proudest, that was my first really proud moment, probably.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love that. If you weren't working in web and web technologies, what's another career that you might like to attempt?
Is it fair if I already had one?
Sure.
Is that like a cheat to the question?
I mean, a little bit, but there's no rules here. It's my podcast. I can do what I want.
Well, yeah. So I was in apparel product development for my whole career before I had babies. And it's so funny because I was trying to go back and prepare for this interview. I watched a couple other podcasts with you, and you got into a conversation with a lady named Sarah. What was her last name? And you guys were talking about meeting women who have had major career changes in their life at least three times. Like mm-hmm. it's really a common thing now. And I was in my mind, I was like, you know, I was like talking to you guys while you're talking to each other. And I was thinking, for me, every time I have a baby, because I'm not that superwoman mom who's able to like work through a pregnancy and manage going right back to work. Like everyone has their own abilities, and I know my own limits in that way. And I just have never been able to do it. I have three kids, and every time I had to stop everything and do that for a while.
Yeah.
And so it seems like I've reinvented my career after each child. And I think it's because it changes who you are. Every child that you have, it's like I feel like a different person. And I know that sounds absurd, right? But
no, not at all.
I have Bunny now, and it's like I can hardly remember what it was like to not have Bunny, and she's only a year old. Yeah. And so I feel like a different woman, and I didn't expect Bunny. So that's not to say that she was – I hate it when people say, you know, she's – there's no chance that baby is an accident. You know, we were trying to get pregnant for like 3 years and we couldn't. And we gave up. And then, you know. So it's an accident. Absolutely not. Surprise.
Right.
Yeah. Definitely. Because we thought we were like in like too old or something. Like, we, you know, we didn't know. And and so it was a really big shock to me. And it took me a long time to process. Like even after I had her, I was like, is this real? Am I really having another baby right now? And I don't even remember what the question was.
It was, that doesn't matter. Moving on. Yeah. It was about changing careers. And
yeah, that's why I changed careers, right? Is because of my first child. And I sort of found myself in this moment that it wasn't the one time. It's every time I've had a baby, it's happened to me where I'm like, I have to change everything. I can't keep doing it this way because I'm a different person. I have this other little different person that is looking to me. And yeah, so that's why. So.
Very good. What's something on your bucket list?
Other than contributing to CORE.
Yes.
I named one earlier. What was it? Oh, I don't know. I mean, the big one for us, and I say us because I'm like one part of a five-part piece, but five-piece set. But for us, the big one is someday, you know, we will go out cruising someday, right? Yeah. So we are, listeners may not know this about me, but my husband's a boat builder. He's a sailor. He's a captain. And when my oldest son was the age of Bunny, we had a business that was in Eleuthera in Florida. And so we sort of like lived on our boats and traveled all around. And one day we want to take all the kids and move on to a boat and go sailing, and we'll do it. It's not sort of bucket list in the sense of like, I want to do these 10 things before I die. It's more the practical parts of it, like financially, you know,
yeah,
we'll be ready to buy a boat, you know, all that kind of stuff. And we have boats. That's not what I mean. I mean the boat, you know, like
right, yeah.
the boat. The that can house yeah. my yeah, crazy family.
And, and dog.
And yes, exactly. And yeah. Yeah. All of that. So
show us or tell us about a hidden talent that you have that the WordPress community might not know about.
Oh gosh. I guess at least my friends in marketing know that I like to cook. You guys probably may assume I sew, right? If I'm an apparel designer. So that wouldn't be so much hidden. Sailing, I talk about all the time because it's what I do. So I'm trying to think. can it be a hidden not talent?
Okay.
Okay. I cannot sing. Like I'm as bad as like Something About Mary. Like they could like write a movie about it and like that's me. So the haha, let's go to karaoke on a WordCamp is never going to happen. It's just never going to happen.
You'll be like, I'll hold the microphone.
Yeah, no.
For all of you.
Oh, and one other thing is I had like a pretty bad speech situation as a kid. And so like, if I drink too much, I sound like Elmer Fudd. Like I lose all my consonant sounds, which is why you can't take me drinking. Cause I can, like, I just, my Southern gets like really Southern and I lose my R's and I lose my N's and like, it just all kind of runs together. So yeah.
I can't wait to see that at a future work.
No, I'm telling you, like, seriously, like, don't let me go there. That's I had so this friend, Kathy, I worked with in, I won't say which company, because then you might know which Kathy, but she fell off her chair every time we went out. I was like, and it was, I don't know what it was, but, like, that's me. Like, you just can't take me out.
That's so funny. Well, tell us how we can find you online.
Right, so I am Meg Phillips 91, and that might sound kind of silly. And where the 91 came from, because a lot of people ask me that, Google. Like when I signed up for Google, I guess I was like the 91st Meg Phillips. It has no significance other than that, but I am Meg Phillips 91 on every channel for the most part. So I am Meg Phillips 91 at Gmail. I'm Meg Phillips 91 on Twitter. WordPress Slack channel. I'm Meg Phillips 91 most everywhere, and I love to chat with people, and I am most often, if you ping me at the WordPress Slack, I'll be there eventually through the day.
And what site is your blog on?
It was another one of those, if I gave myself an excuse I would never do it things. Mm-hmm. And for I don't know if other developers are like this, but I can build sites for other people and make decisions about scope based on budget. But when it comes to myself, I'm not able to make those kind of compromises. So in how many years of writing PHP? Since 2000, I never had a website of my own. Mm-hmm. When I published Charter Boat Bookings, I built MSP Media, and I did it with my eyes closed in 2017 in Gutenberg because my husband told me I had to stop iterating. So I had this like crazy over the like top situation going on just to sell a stupid plugin. And he's like, stop. You need WooCommerce. Pick the out of the box theme, whichever one you want, and you're going to sell it, you know? And so I have that one. But then my blog is at wordpress.com. So I'm Meg Phillips 91 at wordpress.com because I knew that if I tried to build my own site, I would never do it. So I let them do it for me.
That works. Hey, there's no harm in that. Absolutely.
No. And actually it's funny because it needed to happen. I had never used wordpress.com and are you kidding me? Like I don't have to think about anything. I mean, I do find myself like wishing like, well, I'm on the free version. So like I can't have you
add plugins. Yeah.
Yeah. So now I'm like, kind of like, oh, they got me. Right. Like I could have just built my own site, but now they have me because, you know,
yeah.
But
it's all good. It's all good. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we sign off?
Just to say thank you. I enjoyed this very much.
Me too.
I was like really scared about it, and that's really stupid. Right.
It's not stupid at all. I mean, when you do things that you're not used to, it can be scary. I don't think I'm scary, but it has nothing to do with who you're talking to. It's just the situation, you know? So, but I'm glad you had fun.
Thank you. I did. I enjoyed it.
Well, thank you for being here. I enjoyed having you and getting to know you better for sure. And looking forward to, you know, the next whatever project we're working on together and, you know, continuing to stay friends as we do it. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
For anybody listening, check out wpcoffeetalk.com and you can find all the links and things that we talked about here today, along with other episodes of the show. Thanks for being here. We'll see you on the next episode. Bye, everybody.